Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, just the news of the hour, because I just got a call from my wife, because unfortunately it is impacting my 3-year-old. But multiple Memphis Shelby County schools are on lockdown, according to several outlets, due to threats made on social media. MPD spokesman told Fox 13 that Shelby County Sheriff's and Memphis Shelby County Schools, are the lead agencies for the investigation of those threats. But that same spokesman also apparently said that many of the threats are coming from overseas and from chatbots that are sending the same images not only to Memphis but schools in other parts of the country. So, I believe the schools that are impacted are Germantown, Ridgeway, Overton, Craigmont, and then Southwind this morning. So 5 schools apparently got some sort of message or image or what have you. And any school, obviously, that's, those schools are going to be on lockdown. Any school around those schools is going to be on lockdown. A Germantown police have made a statement that they've got personnel on the scene there. They're trying to, investigate the situation and check it out. What a world we are in, right? I mean, this is it, threats coming from overseas, and it's not just apparently Memphis. It's other schools around. I mean, my daughter is 3 years old and she's in lockdown right now. I mean, I went through high school, I went through every part of, every single grade. I never did that. I don't even know what that looks like. We never practiced it. We never did drills. We never did anything like that. And even if there's, nothing to this, as a parent, I'm thinking about my child who is in fear and very confused about what is happening, right? So it's a little weird to be doing the show knowing that, my kid is, whether these threats are credible or not, scared right now. But it's sadly the world we live in. I mean, we're not even talking about, I could say country, but it ain't even the country. It's coming from overseas. I mean, it's a weird deal, man. Sad deal. But hopefully that this is just a prank, a sick prank, and that there's nothing to these threats. But that is going on right now as we speak in Memphis, with multiple high schools impacted right now and on lockdown.
Penny Hardaway's made it official, and I'm with you, John. Hopefully, I can understand you not being here in mind, and if you need to roll, we can all completely.
We can't do anything. Unfortunately, can't check her out or anything.
Which I get. Right. And folks don't want you to add to the panic
exactly.
or anything.
So,
especially if these are pranks.
Yes.
But we completely understand. The sort of frame of mind you're in right now as a parent, and it's tough to pivot when you're thinking about your child. We certainly are doing that. Penny Hardaway made it official. We haven't heard from Penny Hardaway about his assistant coaches in a while, because we'd been waiting on it to become official, and you'd had, the firing of several assistant coaches in this sense, Rick Stansberry being one of those guys, Faraji Phillips, who had been moved, obviously no longer, Jamie Rosser as well was part of that. I guess we did hear from him in terms of Penny addressing the narrative that he says media is trying to make it one thing, and this turnover that he's had here, a few weeks here before the season sets start, and he has downplayed that. But we got more of the what Mike Davis and Nolan Smith bring to the table They were right there. And that's what's unique about this situation is typically you move on from assistants a few weeks before the season. Well, maybe you got a coaching search that takes 3-4 weeks or whatever else. These guys were right there waiting in the wings, Mike Davis and Nolan Smith, whether they were going to be consultants, assistants or not. And that's the unique thing about this is that Penny seems to have the subs just ready to go off the bench here. Mike Davis, more than a sub, though, obviously, comes to Memphis. I'm reading from the Memphis release now. After spending the last six seasons at Detroit Mercy, which were not good. There's no need to go into those six seasons. But his resume, obviously 35-plus years, includes a Final Four appearance. I mean, in terms of experienced coaches you're bringing in, you can't get too much more experience than Mike Davis. And again, I mean, you know, Penny Hardaway's had Larry Brown in there. I mean, you've had guys in there. Rick Stansberry, who's been around the block, longtime college basketball head coach. And Mike Davis, just another one, sort of follows along in that line in terms of former head coach that now will be in Penny Hardaway's ear. Again, critical in that conversation that Penny Hardaway is listening. Also, Nolan Smith. Penny seems to have had an affinity for Nolan Smith for a while now. Bringing him over from... it's not technically Louisville because Nolan Smith at this point was not at Louisville. They had had the coaching change there. Nolan had gone there to work for Kenny Payne coming over from Duke. These guys now over at Memphis again, I don't say come to, they were already here.
Right.
Now they are in official capacity as assistants. Here's what Penny said. Again, we're not talking narratives. We're talking about Mike Davis. I'm excited to have Coach Davis as part of our program. He's a veteran coach, brings a winning mentality to the team with an impressive resume to back it up both on and off the court. Mike's one at the highest level. Achieved great success and is a proven leader of young men. He will serve our program in the office, on campus, and in the community. We are happy to have Mike and his family in Memphis. As for Nolan, he's a grit and grind guy and is one of the brightest young coaches in college basketball. He works hard and has a passion for the game that's unmatched, brings a championship mindset to our team after not only having won a national championship as a player, but also by learning from one of the all-time greats in Mike Krzyzewski. Our players are going to love being in the gym with Nolan, and we're excited to have him and his family as part of Tiger Nation. So, again, nice to be able to get to some officialness about the staff and where we are now and sort of be able to move off the, what in the world's going on at Memphis, a narrative that had been the story here the last few weeks after those firings, and not unfairly, because it was a situation that's uncommon in college basketball where you're moving that much staff, you're changing over that much staff this late in the game. That's it. Penny's got the new guys in place. I figure, you know, your other, you know, whether it's Jermaine Johnson, whether it's Andre Turner, it's not really, it's hard to say. It's not like back in our day, John, where it's three guys. You can have five on the court now. And so technically who you call an assistant coach, there's more guys now that you can call assistant coaches. And that's, you know, Jamie Rosser and all those guys, they were assistants because they could be on the floor. I think you can have up to five now, Jermaine was telling me. And so from that standpoint, we know at least two in the fold. We'll see what happens with the other three spots.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not a bad staff. It's not. I mean, it's in some ways maybe better than the previous one. Because, I mean, we could argue about it. I mean, Andy Borman was brought here. I mean, we're going all the way back to Borman, right? He was brought here to deliver Nas Cunningham and the New York Wrens. Well, he didn't do that. He didn't deliver any of those guys. And Nas, I believe, is at Bama.
I think that's correct.
I have Bama as my, just as an aside.
He's now like a four-star, too. Right?
Yeah, he dropped way down. Right? He dropped way down. I have Bama as my number one team in the country preseason, over Kansas. So I don't know if that's controversial or not.
It's not. They're top three in the country in terms of odds to win the national championship right there with Kansas, and Houston's the other one, isn't it?
But I just submitted my Field of 68 top 25 yesterday, and that's why I kind of got to thinking.
Where'd you have Memphis in there? Number 10?
They're receiving votes, brother. Okay. I mean, you know, they're receiving votes.
Good for you. You're not the homer GP used to be.
I do not have.
That's a joke, guys.
I have Bama, Kansas, Houston, Baylor, Gonzaga as my top five. I have UConn 7th. I'm not high on UConn this year.
I see.
I think Memphis has a chance to beat them in Maui. I'm just, you know, they lose so much. I think you can only lose that. You lost a ton 2 years in a row now. You can't just expect to pick up right where you left off. There's going to be a drop off. Now, how big is it? That's the question. But, I mean, I don't think, I like I said before, I don't think this team should be the favorite to win the championship this year. I think that's outrageous. If you're betting UConn as the favorite to win the championship, you might be a dumbo.
They might be. I will go back to the Memphis staff question. You think Mike Davis is helpful in terms of grabbing players as Rick Stansberry was to Penny Hardaway on that front? Because I'm with you on Nolan.
Yeah.
and Nolan being better.
Yeah, I mean, Mike,
maybe than what you, but and don't get me wrong, I love Mike Davis. I love his experience. He's been to a Final Four.
Yeah.
What are we talking about
here?
But I'm saying we know that Rick had a ton to do with this roster.
Right.
What Hitman said, 5 of the 7, had Rick Stansberry fingerprints on them. Some will take it this way. We're not saying Rick Stansberry got those guys by himself. Penny Hardaway is the closer, but he clearly had his fingerprints on much of this roster the time that he was here. And so here's another thing about Penny. I mean, we've seen he can close deals on his own, he can recruit on his own. But let's be real too. Stansberry is very helpful.
Yes,
very.
He was.
We're not going to change
what
the story was. Yep. Now that Stansberry's out, we had all said, and clearly Penny thought so too. There for the time that he was there, got very benefit. Very useful in terms of going to get players, especially players late, you know, with his ability to go in, know what they've got to do to get qualified, everything else.
Yep.
You know, somebody else has got to pick up the slack in that department, obviously, or some slack. Otherwise, your head coach is going to be left to do it all. You don't want that for Penny Hardaway right now. More responsibility. You want to be giving that out, doling that out to others.
Yep.
And so, you know, that part of it, you know, Mike Davis, I'd say Rick might have him there, you know, on the player getting part. But Penny Hardaway, I don't have concerns about now recruiting falling off. Penny's still going to get his guys, but Stansberry took a lot of work off your back.
Right.
It felt like. And that could be potentially more work on you if you don't have someone on your staff picking that up. My guess is Nolan Smith's going to be helpful in that department.
That's exactly what
my
I'm going to
say. My guess is Nolan's really going to help you in that department.
You're going to need him too.
Yeah.
Because
otherwise, it's all on you, bro.
That's right. And we know that's not tenable, okay? That's just not happening.
It doesn't need to be all on him at this point.
So I think that's the answer to that question, right? It's like you see Nolan assume more of that, like Nolan's going to be dealing with boosters. He's going to be, you know, rallying everybody, right, in the day to day. And I think he sort of replaces Rick. And you know, Nolan was, you know, when Nolan really came on the scene and sort of made an impact during the George Floyd protests, during the Black Lives Matter movement. He actually was very much at the forefront and vocal at Duke, right, during that week and that time. And I think that's when people said, we didn't know. We didn't know that, you know, he was as impressive as if he had such command, he had such, you know, energy and he was so thought all those things, right? And so I think you take that and you bring it to Memphis, you know, and you reinvigorate. I think that's kind of what you do. You reinvigorate some of the boosters that might be a little disengaged, that might be a little fatigued, whatever the case may be, right? Because that is what Nolan does have. It's going to mean something when he hits your phone. He's a champ. He's a guy that's played and coached under Coach K.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have some cachet, right? When he's calling you and saying, what's up? You know, how's everybody doing? How's the family? Like, love Rick. But, you know, it's a little different when it's Nolan Smith, like, people know him, you know.
I'm just saying, it didn't help Kenny.
No, it didn't. I don't think anything could have helped Kenny. He was a plant.
Oh, okay.
He was a plant from Cal.
I forgot that's your theory.
That was a sabotage.
My bad.
That was a sabotage by the Cal, and it succeeded.
Great conspiracy theory.
Yeah. You just can't convince me that Cal's like, yes, go forth to Louisville and wreck it. Like, only you can. Where is Kenny Payne? Isn't he with somebody? He bounced back somewhere.
Well, he had said he'd had several job offers, and I thought he went to.
Is he in Arkansas?
To work for Cal. I think he's at.
He's
at Arkansas.
He's back at Arkansas. So again, you can't convince me that boomerang was not intentioned. He go to Louisville and wreck it, and then when it's all done, you get your buyout. I will rehire you. Come on, bro. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy how that all happened. And he was terrible. I mean, it was arguably one of the worst coaching tenures we've ever seen, you know, at a program like that. But, yeah, look, I think the staff is good at Memphis. I do. I think.
Who was the other guy that was that Borman was supposed to get? Wasn't it a point guard that he had?
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
And is he the one that ended up at Louisville? Now
oh,
I'm
man.
Thinking, or am,
yes,
I, am
yes.
I conflating two things?
Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson. Who needed his
tights. That's right. There you go.
And it was going to be Borman's first run here.
That's right.
That didn't happen.
And then
I don't
remember what happened.
It was part of that hot mess up there at Louisville that you're talking about.
I think maybe Memphis took Kendrick.
Maybe so.
That was because that was 2 years ago, right?
2 years, yeah. That seems right.
So I think that's kind of
Tyler pulled off, yeah, which made all the sense in the world.
Exactly.
There you go.
But yeah, it also Memphis. We didn't talk about this because it happened after our show. They released their non-conference schedule.
Yeah, most of which we knew, right?
And you said you got them going 12-0.
No, first off, it's 13 games. How many times are we going to be through that?
My bad.
Non-conference schedule is 13 games, Joe.
My bad.
Okay. And no, I didn't have them 12-0.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
we know 8. You didn't have them 12-0 because you got them number 60 in the country.
I got them like, I don't know. It'd be interesting. Where do I have? I have them probably like 40.
They were, well, they're 11-2 last year. It's going to be hard to top that in your non-conference. So go 11-2, and that Maui looks rough.
Yeah. So you got you Missouri at home. You're going to be a big favorite. All right. You win that one. 1-0, boom.
Have to.
UNLV is in Vegas.
Now this is the do it for. We got to beat Brad.
Now Brad, is UNLV good? What's the scouting report here?
That's a you can get a dub there.
Okay, it's possible.
Very possible.
All right. Well, who's their best? Well, I remember them last year. They were kind of like
They had the Boone brothers.
Yeah, they had the Boone brothers exactly, and they were tough, but they were not that talented.
Yep.
Is that the same deal this year?
It's a mixed bag every year, like Memphis.
Okay, all right.
I actually haven't studied it close enough.
We didn't really need that jab.
Well,
we didn't ask for it.
These are two vagabond programs. That's my analysis there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
We wanted a scouting report, not a slander report.
Well, I don't even know who's on the Memphis roster or the UNLV roster.
Well, you're going to know on November 9th. How's that?
I do know one player. The kid from Tulsa that we talk about all the time.
And don't forget Danger.
Oh, I forgot a Danger about Illinois.
And Moses Cisse?
How did I forget the most popular people on the team?
They are. I mean, look who they're building around. Tyrese Hunter. Tyrese Hunter, bro. He is going to be an absolute stud for this team.
Memphis should win that game.
It'll be interesting.
Memphis should win. That's one, if you're going to make the tournament, you got to win.
So I mean,
we're 2-0.
Yeah.
Yep, 2-0. Ohio at home. They'll be big favorites. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, I do like Ohio against the spread. Give me the spread here, but I think Memphis wins the game. San Francisco, I mean, again, same difference. There's no difference to me. So that's you really should at worst be 3-1 to start. I mean, I can forgive a road loss to UNLV. I mean, I just because it happens, college basketball. But anything less than that, and folks, we got a problem.
Well, and if you lose it, it won't be held against you in that sense. Because
yeah,
it's
a road loss. Yeah. It's a November 9th road loss with a brand new
team.
It'd
be fine. It's possible.
I'm preemptively saying I'm not concerned about the loss to UNLV. Okay.
No, we're going 4-0.
Maui, you're hoping to go 2-1 there, right? Because you get the consolation game.
That's 2-1 is pretty darn good in that.
Yeah, it depends on who you get. It depends. But
yeah, I guess you're right. But consolation-wise, still, you're still starting to see somebody good. If you go 2-1, even on the consolation track, you've done pretty well.
So who's on the other side? It's Memphis, UConn, and then who? Michigan State and Iowa State? Is that the other game?
No, don't give me a line.
I
thought Auburn got the other good draw.
Auburn, Iowa State. So yeah, I think you get the loser of that one. Yeah. Is Michigan State even in it? I might have put them in it, and they're not in it. That's right. You would get the loser of Auburn and Iowa. Iowa State. So you probably get Auburn in that game. But those are two really freaking good teams.
That's what I'm saying. 2-1, even if you go consolation, it could really be good.
All right. 1-2 is what you're trying to hope. I mean, anything better than that is gravy, honestly.
Agreed.
Get one win.
Yeah.
For sure. Then you have Louisiana Tech should be a dub. Arkansas State should be a dub. Clemson there. I mean, I don't think Clemson is going to be very good this year. I mean, they lost so much with PJ Hall. I mean, they do bring your boy back, though.
The white guy.
Chef. Mm. You love him.
The blimp.
So that may be an issue on the road.
That's one dude.
Toss up.
Moose and them got him.
Yeah, we'll lock him all the way down. So I'm going to give you a split. How's this? I'm going to give you an ACC split. You lose to Clemson. Or excuse me, you beat Clemson, lose to Virginia. That cool?
Tony owes you. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. Tony needs to beat Memphis at home, at his place.
And then you have a home twofer here with the Mississippi schools.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Mississippi State Bulldogs on the 21st. Is that a loss at home?
That's a loss.
That's a loss at home, Brad.
Cam Matthews coming in here to reconcile.
We're going to go 0-2 in the Brad Carson Invitational. Well, is that what we're saying?
He's going to be tough to work with if that's the case.
He is going to be very tough to work with you if you're just going to have us losing to all your teams. I mean, that's ridiculous.
0-2, he's going to be
out of the two of them.
And then the school, up north is on the 28th.
Oh, that's a dub.
I mean, that Ole Miss is good. I mean, people who love Ole Miss, and I mean, they're going to be a top 25 team.
Yes.
I mean, preseason. I don't know what they will be on the 28th, but people think that this is finally Chris Beard's, like, chance to lift off with this roster.
Well, it won't be long. I mean, I believe in Chris Beard, the coach.
Yeah, I think Memphis will. I think Memphis will beat Mississippi State, but lose to Ole Miss. That would be my guess. So
the Ole Miss been a thorn in our side. I need to handle them.
But I think however you want to do it, I'm going to take a split there.
Didn't they get him last year with Musa? Ole Miss win?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ole Miss won.
You owe Ole Miss.
So one of the two losses was Ole Miss last year?
Yeah, they remember they lost on a. I was actually at a dance recital, so I don't remember it.
Man, it's a bad road against Ole Miss of late.
Yes.
Yep.
Like I said, thorn in your side. Man, you went 11-2 last year, and one of those conference losses was to non-conference loss to Ole Miss. That's right.
So I've got, let's go 5-2, 7-2, let's go 8-3. Looks like 9-4. Smells like 9-4.
Mm. Oh, that's a tougher schedule than last year,
right.
So I would take 9-4.
9-4 would be great. 9-4 would be great.
And you're going to be theoretically better in the American. You have to be than you were last
year. I mean, you shouldn't lose more than two games in the AAC this year.
But I'll start, you know, you go in with that attitude like that. That's the attitude that team had and Penny had last year.
That's
we're
true.
Just going to dominate this thing and
that's
look how they did it.
Yeah, no.
But yes, you better run it like that because you ain't going to get anything out of it.
Yeah.
All you do is you stand to lose.
What's the
worst? Don't even have an FAU this year, bro.
Right.
I mean, we're looking at UAB. Is UAB in that top 25 that you, that's what I thought.
No.
They still going to be co-favorite, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
I thought some of those experts that you had thought that there was a little bit of a difference between Memphis and
UAB. The Blue Ribbon year, but we talked about it, had UAB number one in this league.
That was right. That was more recent.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You
again,
brought that up more recently.
I think it'll be co-favorites. I don't think people will pick UAB to be the – but I do think there is an anti-Memphis agenda when it comes to voting and preseason picking in this league because Memphis has never done it.
I don't ever want to live in a world where I am perennially a co-favorite in the AAC with UAB.
Couldn't agree more.
I'm not getting the job done if that's the case.
Couldn't agree
more. And I don't want to hear – forget disrespect. It shouldn't even be considered. So you shouldn't even be in the same sentence with them.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
With all due respect to UAB.
Yes, agree totally. But 9-4 would be very good. 8-5 is certainly manageable. I mean – You just can't really lose more than three games in your league. I think that's kind of – and that would be true regardless. So, anyway, it's all out there. I'm excited to see, you know, what this team looks like. We have the exhibition on the 15th of next month in Memphis for the, obviously, Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic against North Carolina. And then you have the Huntsville exhibition game against Alabama, against my number one team in America. So, that is a good – opportunity, Jason, for you to get down to Huntsville if you've ever wanted to visit. I don't know if
thinking about it because we found out that is one of the love and romance things I think is done in Huntsville.
Really?
Yeah, one of the ones Faith watches.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's some incentive there. Mm-hmm.
Go and meet some of those folks.
I don't know where you'd stay at a
but I was telling you, I think the club Black that's part of the show, one of the couples that opened up a club, I think it's been closed down. So yeah, I would imagine very few things in Huntsville to see.
Right.
So these few things that are on the show, if they're not even there, it's a tough draw.
What's the show called?
I want to say it's Love and Marriage in Huntsville. Like,
okay.
It's apparently, now y'all say, oh yeah, like y'all have seen it. It's an all Black show. Y'all never even seen it.
You could take your kids and go see the space NASA and then go to the thing and make it
the space center. Is
yeah,
in
the
Nashville?
NASA space center.
That's
there.
Right. That's mm-hmm. right.
So you can go visit that.
Yeah.
CJ would love that.
Yep.
And then you could go to the game. And then you could go do the Love and Hip Hop or Love and Romance.
Love and Marriage.
I apologize.
Huntsville
marriage.
Has
love
been
and
running
marriage.
Since 2019.
Wow. And where does it air?
Where?
Is it like a Netflix deal?
No. It's like Bravo or some one
I
of them
you.
Channels.
I got you.
Know, one of them
yeah.
That the wives be on.
Yeah, exactly.
No, man. Melody Holt. I'd like to meet her with my wife.
Yeah,
to meet her with my wife with me. I'd like to meet Melody Holt.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that stipulation. Not alone.
In case she's listening.
Not alone.
Martell, not so much.
Okay.
Her ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marceau Scott, he's the guy that opened up this club I'm telling you about.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's now been closed. So
I do want to say
we might be able to drive by it while we're down there for the game, see if it's back open or not.
Yeah.
It's called Black with a Q.
Brad's got the, you know, he's doing this, you know, for the courtroom. He's got the typewriter out, you know, just for the record. I have seen movies starring Morris Chestnut. So, you know, I mean, you may be surprised, you know, if maybe I'm up on Love and Marriage in Huntsville. You know, I could be up on it. You never know. I might know exactly what's going on, the plot line. I just don't want to talk
about it. What's your favorite Chestnut movie? Go right ahead.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's got to be
It's famous, John.
No, they're all kind of the same.
There's one.
They're all the same.
There's one you should, yeah.
Well, you say it, then. Which one is it?
Isn't it Boys in the Hood?
Morris Chestnut, give yourself a ding.
Okay, I knew one. That's it. As far as I go.
Look at Brad, bro.
He got shot.
Brad is upstate.
I know that's shocking for the court. Okay.
That's when Morris had hair. Very good, Brad.
That's as far as I get it. That's
very early in his career.
No, that's all I got.
I can't believe you upstaged me in this way.
I was able to give you a Morris Chestnut movie and very early in his career.
All I got.
Yeah, I was going to go with more like two can play that game, you know? That 2001 classic.
I was waiting on some of those romance, the rom-coms.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
that you and Sam had seen together.
Also, Like Mike. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Wasn't he the dad? The stepdad or something?
Was he?
Something about. And I don't think I thought Bow Wow was an orphan in Like Mike.
I think.
But that's
he
who
was the
takes
player.
Him in.
He was the player. That's what it was.
He was the player.
He was the player that begrudgingly.
2002.
And then I think he adopted him.
He was the player that adopted little Bow Wow.
Yeah.
They're right.
How did I miss that?
That was a good movie.
Now,
all right?
You did have to look that up, though. I think that didn't.
I unfortunately did, but I have seen both of those movies.
But no, you're right. Though that's a good one. There, I'd forgotten about that one for him.
Yeah.
Who was his? Didn't he have a wife in that one? And like he had, there was a.
And you know, they were like,
yeah, we want to. They decided as a couple they wanted to adopt Bow Wow.
Yes,
make Bow Wow theirs.
Yes,
I believe that is true.
Okay.
Yes,
that's a beautiful story.
No, look, Like Mike was a good movie. Okay, I will.
Oh, and the villain of that, like the little boy that wanted to steal the shoes, he went on, I think, to have a...
Jonathan Lipnicki?
Is that his name?
Yeah, and he was
as
in...
a fan, he's in a lot now, is what I'm saying. He grew up and is a big-time actor, I want to tell you.
Yeah, well, he I don't know if he's doing a ton today, but he was in the Little Vampire back in 2000.
That's not who... That's got to be a different dude. No, I'm talking about an adult. I'm pretty sure about this dude. Very random that the enemy in Like Mike,
Crispin Glover.
Nah, he's the orphan. He ran the orphan.
Yeah.
And he was in Back to the Future and all that stuff. I know who that is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about this other big face. Dude. Mm-hmm. This big face.
Is he an older guy?
I mean, he was one of them. Now I don't know. He's maybe 40s or something.
Okay. I'm
trying to think of something he's been in, but I can't.
Is he the Jerry Maguire kid? Is that the same kid?
Jonathan Lipnicki? I don't know.
I just know that would have popped up when John looked that up.
No, that's him actually.
That kid?
That's him. Jonathan Lipnicki is.
We're starting to get it together.
But he also was in The Little Vampire. That was a
okay, but that's not the adult now.
No,
that kid is not acting now. So I could be off on who I thought it was.
He did something in
y'all's guy might be completely different, and I may have the wrong.
Well, I think this calls for a rewatch of the movie. I mean, I think we should do a special rewatch
viewing party.
That was a touching, wholesome movie with the kid getting adopted at the end. I thought Bow Wow did a great job in the movie. You know what I'm saying? And it had everything for everybody. I mean, weren't there NBA players in there? I mean, you had Vince Carter in there, Steve France in there, kid in there,
a lot of cameos. Yeah,
you had Rich Eisen in there, Ahmad Rashad, Kenny Mayne.
I did it. I think it's Jesse Plemons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that sounds right. Mm-hmm. He's in something big. You're right.
You know who I'm talking about
now?
See, I don't just come up with this stuff,
yep,
but I do need help.
Well done.
On pulling it together from you gentlemen.
Yep, that's him.
And it's Jesse Plemons.
Oh, he's a big time
actor. He's now big-time actor.
Married to Kirsten Dunst?
Wow. There you go.
Yep, that's him.
Damn.
Now I'm bringing them randomness, and we're educating. Yes, but I needed y'all's help to do it. That's when we work best.
I saw him in this in this really, really, really stupid movie in 2020 called "I'm Thinking of Ending Things."
Whoa!
And it's not about like that. I don't remember what it was about, quite honestly. But it was like it got so much hype, and I thought it was a bad movie overall.
See, he played Ox in Like Mike, who I think was giving Bow Wow
a hard
time.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, good call. Plemons he's all over. He was in that Civil War movie that came out this year that everybody talked
about.
Serious actor, yeah.
Again, you know, I don't know exactly what Like Mike, how that's relevant to the Memphis non-conference, but we found a way, didn't we? We found a way to get there. There's no tying it. You can't. There's no point even trying, right? Like
Huntsville trip.
Huntsville, that's right. It's about Huntsville.
Morris Chestnut.
Morris. Huntsville like, brought us there.
There's always something.
How did you tie Morris to Huntsville?
I just kind of, when I think about like the feel-good black family
You thought film, Morris Chestnut should be in Love and Marriage in Huntsville.
Basically. Like, he seems like the kind of guy. I mean, does he not? I mean, when you think about like typecast, right? If there is like a feel-good family black film, it's Morris Chestnut, bro, or a rom-com. Right.
But in this case, it's reality TV is what Love and Marriage is.
Oh, that's not a...
It's a show that's run since 19.
Oh, it's a reality show.
Right, but you're right. If it was a movie,
they
would have cast Morris Chestnut probably as Melody's husband. You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
We've tied it all together. Let's hit next door.
Morris Chestnut.
What, his newest flick?
I think we're waiting on that. It's still in development.
10 candidates. If Florida fires Billy Napier, done by USA Today Network. Blake Topmeyer, who I believe is a weekly guest with Jeffrey Wright.
Friday.
And John Adams. And would you like to know some of the names? Right there at the top of the list is a name that we've said, Lane Kiffin. Here's Top's pitch. Forget Meyer, Urban Meyer, and bringing him back, which they kind of joked about there at the top. Kiffin would be more of a Steve Spurrier throwback. His transfer portal chops would help a roster in need of an overhaul. Here's Adams. Love it for Florida. Don't know if I like it for Kiffin. Considering Kiffin positioned Ole Miss for playoff contention and possibly national championship contention, why leave for a rebuild? I can see the logic sort of on both sides of that, but we had mentioned maybe Kiffin is a guy that you make the first call to if you are Florida. Others on the list. Drinkwitz, obviously, up at Missouri. Jed Fish at Washington. The feel there seems to be, let's see what he can do at Washington. Let's hold off for a second. They got Alex Golish listed as one of the 10 candidates. He is the coach that John loves down at South Florida. Who else? Jamie Chadwell from Liberty. And then on down the list, here we go. Ryan Silverfield, Memphis. Here's what they say. Here's Topmeyer's pitch. He just beat Florida State, and his Tigers enjoy the inside edge for the Group of Five's playoff spot. So, Topmeyer, number one, agrees with you and with Gabe Kuhn that Memphis is does have the inside track on that Group of Five playoff spot right now. Adams' reaction, no!
Yeah.
He beat a bad FSU team. Bully for him. What does that mean? That doesn't make him ready for reinvigorating Florida.
Bully for him?
It says bully for him.
It must mean.
Maybe that's a typo.
Is that
a phrase that I'm not used to? Bully for him. He beat a bad FSU team. Bully for him.
Did they mean bullish? But,
so maybe that's a typo that I don't understand.
Is the person British?
It's John Adams, bro. Didn't he used to be up at the...
Is it like John Adams, like,
USA Today,
1785? Like,
no. The one
President
used to be, wasn't
John
he up at Tennessean
Adams
or something for a long
for
time?
You.
So John Adams has been around here a long time as a columnist.
Bro, he using that old John English, Adams. Bro.
Yeah, I've not heard that phrase. I'm not very familiar with it. But
I'm looking it up
doesn't...
now. Bully for means used to express
good
admiration
for him.
Or approval.
So good for him type phrase.
Yes.
Bully for him.
Weird phrasing.
But
I've never heard that.
But bully is British slang. For good.
Yeah, John Adams in this case. I think
John Adams! You fat!
It's weird. It's weird.
It's strange. I've
phrase.
Never heard that.
But he does not like...
I know him.
And I mean, you know it too from how far down Silverfield is on this list. But he is on the list.
Yeah,
and if he did, it's what we said. If he did lead Memphis to a playoff spot, then he's going to be on some lists. And maybe he's a call that Florida makes, but it would be on down.
Yeah, for sure. Look, bully for Ryan Silverfield to be on this list. There's no doubt about
This is good.
I mean...
This is good for Ryan Silverfield to already be on these lists.
I mean, I do believe Florida, maybe that's a bridge too far, but, you know, there are a lot of middling Power 5 teams, Power 4 teams, I should say, that will have openings.
My U.S. historian tells me that it's a term Theodore Roosevelt used.
Oh, Theodore Roosevelt!
Yeah, like well done.
Well, bully for you! Yeah,
good
I mean,
for him. It's like good for him. Thank you.
But to
my inside history.
If John Adams was sitting in that chair right there.
Thank you.
I would ask him, why would you not just say good for you? You know, like...
I mean, he's a wordsmith.
Mark Twain.
So he's trying to show you the higher plane.
Well, he showed me. Yeah. I had to go look it up. Bully for you. It stopped the show in its tracks.
He shot most of these down, by the way, and he had a rebuttal candidate. Because in this role, it was Topmeyer's job to pitch it to him.
Yes.
And then Adams' job to either hit it or not.
Okay.
And he didn't like most of them.
Yep.
But what he brought back as a rebuttal candidate was Matt Rhule from Nebraska.
Ooh.
He's inherited a bigger mess than what he'd counter at Florida. Remember, Rhule stepped in after Art Briles at Baylor. He did a remarkable job there. He previously excelled at Temple, and he's got Nebraska back on track in year two. Rule doesn't stay in one place for long, which we know to be true. Maybe he'd fancy his first crack at the SEC.
I mean, I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
You would call Kiffin before Rule?
Yes, easily. But Rule as a plan B, that's pretty good. I mean,
I kind of like Adam's rebuttal guy here. He wasn't in the 10, but that's who Adams was.
I
like that kind of outside-the-box thinking. Even though Rule's not an, you wouldn't think of, he's not right. An SEC guy. Be his
no, he's not. He's not an SEC guy, and that would be the
outside like, the box.
Like he is a, you know, his brand works really well at Nebraska, right? Like it's no so nonsense. It's run the ball. It's
got him
physical.
A good quarterback right now.
And
Viola,
yeah.
Until he loses at Illinois this weekend,
isn't it in Nebraska? Though?
Oh, is it in Nebraska? Yeah. I think he might lose that Illinois game.
Yeah, well, you can't, and you can't. Ow. Your teams can't.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Win every week.
I know.
I mean, you had UNLV on Friday night last week. You've got Mississippi State beating Memphis. You got UNLV beating Memphis. Now you're trying to get greedy and say Illinois beat Nebraska. I mean, don't you think Brad's just being a little greedy at this point?
That's Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, heard him on the air this morning. He was on the unsportsmanlike this morning bragging about how great Nebraska is because he beat Colorado early.
Well, I mean, it probably is pretty good if you're doing well. I mean, I imagine he walks around that place like he owns it.
Bro, the Patrick Mahomes 2.0 is not losing to Illinois. Let me tell you.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Riola.
It's a little weird, though, isn't it?
It is. But now he calls him Unc and stuff, and so it's fine.
No, but he, like, imitates him.
He does everything like
if Mahomes hadn't embraced it would be weird.
Right.
But since he's embraced it, it's all good.
But didn't Riola try to say he's not trying to imitate?
I think yes.
Okay.
But it's clear. I mean, even with the shades and the hair.
And, like, and his, dude, his pregame.
He looks just like the man.
Just
and,
like him.
And you he's could
like
change shades
the, he's doing
and
the
not look
and
as much like him if you really wanted to go.
He's throwing no looks. He's throwing sidearms.
You see, I mean, who don't want to be like Patrick Mahomes?
No, I mean, it's,
and then this dude looks like him.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's true. I mean,
I don't understand why he thinks it's a bit, you know.
Right, I mean, just say, look, he is my role model.
And I'm kind of doing this.
He's who I want to be.
I know I look like him.
Yeah. People used to, when I started doing radio, people used to always say that I was trying to be GP. They always would accuse me of trying to sound like GP.
Well, maybe in his defense, maybe he's not trying to look like Patrick. Maybe he just likes the sunglasses and the haircut, And he's tired of hearing this, just to that point. We're trying to make that the deal. Like people were trying to make you tied to GP.
They tried.
And they were trying.
They tried.
And I'm sure you pushed back. You didn't like that, did you? Maybe, right? Maybe,
yeah,
maybe is it Dustin? Maybe he is in that. But what is his first name?
Dylan. I thought it was like, you know, I'm not really, how can I do that? Why would I try to sound just like, you know, I'm trying to be myself?
The dude looks like him. It's not like you're going around dressing in Mets caps,
right,
and stuff, looking like Gary.
That's
he,
right.
You know,
that's
saying?
Right. Yeah, no, he could
change that if he wanted to
could.
And really change the narrative.
He
but
could.
He's picking those shades
he
that
is
look like
them.
Pats, and he... You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't have to change.
Doesn't he wear the same?
But there's something else that's similar. Yeah,
he wears the.
Why you're saying fanny pack though? And
it's
I don't
not
know.
A fanny
that
pack.
A fanny
it's like
pack.
The rib. It's like the rib.
All
thing.
The
yeah.
the rib protector.
Yeah,
thing that
Mahomes wears
out.
That. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wears that in Nebraska too.
Does Baker Mayfield wear that?
Yes,
I think he must.
Yes, yes. I mean, it must help. I think it looks goofy as hell, but it must help. You know, because Lamar doesn't wear it, does he?
I don't ever, because it makes you, dude, it makes you look weird.
I think Cam wore one, didn't he?
I mean, he had to. I think it started to get crazy. Not when he started, because he'd do the rip of the jersey thing.
That's right.
Like Superman.
But I'm pretty sure Rayola wears that.
Well, that would make him look even more like Patrick Mahomes.
But I will say this on terms of, you know, Matt Rhule is a no-nonsense guy, and they, quite frankly, they need that. At Florida right now. They need somebody that's going to come in there, quietly produce, and get that place back to... Because I will say, that program has history, bro. They won multiple championships. Like, it should be hot. It should be
always
top 10 every year, honestly. And in contention for the SEC. And it's like, when's the last time that was true? I mean, you got to go back to Urban. So, you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, in some ways, it's a lot like Memphis basketball. You know, they just haven't, for whatever reason, been able to find that next guy. You know, we hope it's Penny. We hope he goes to the tournament this year. We hope that, you know, it's smooth sailing from here. But, you know, with Florida, they've been searching. It was Mullen. It was I feel like there was one other one in there that I'm missing. Muschamp.
It was
Muschamp, Mullen. Now it's Napier, and it's not going well. Look, they're going to make a call to Lane. If Lane doesn't go to Florida, I would ask, is he going to leave Ole Miss? Because what is he waiting on? What job is he waiting on if he's not going to Ole Miss? Or, excuse me, going to Florida? You know?
Well, that's a good question.
Like,
I guess Florida's still that.
He's been to USC already.
The deal on Florida, though, the old narrative's always been that they don't, while they have it, that the facilities have been too old, that they've been a little slow to come around on some things. And it's possible, you know, what's...
Maybe so. Maybe I mean, there's got to be something holding them back.
But if I'm laying and I say, you want me, I need guarantee.
I'm getting that promise.
And I think they've picked it up since, but at one point they were behind. And I don't know if it was Hurd or others telling me about how, you know, the facilities down there could use some upkeep. Anyway, point being, you will obviously have come around on that if you're going to be trying to draw Lane Kiffin's in there.
Yes.
If you're still behind, he knows that. He's not. What's the point? He's already built something up. Why rebuild?
Yeah.
Golesh
was mentioned.
Yeah.
It's not. He's not ready for that job yet.
That's what Adams correctly said, that Golesh ain't ready.
Yeah, but I do like him. I mean, I do think, you know, we'll see what he does this weekend if he can keep it close at home. I mean, it's the biggest home game in the history of South Florida. So if he can keep it close, then, his job status will rise very quickly. But, you know, there's steps to that.
No, that's what it's, I mean, says imagine Florida trying to sell its hire with this line. He made a Group of Five program respectable. Like, he hasn't done anything yet at South Florida while they are on the rise.
Yeah.
So he's 100% right. It's not time yet.
But you know what?
Too early.
You know, sometimes it is too early, and you just have to be early because sometimes it's too late, and then you're too late. If Florida's hiring the South Florida coach, bro, for them, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I love the guy. I think he's really good. I think he's gonna get a power
four
job.
And that's why the second call might be to Drinkwitz.
Interesting.
You know, because that's a name now who's proven enough. That's who they got second on the list behind Kiffin is Drinkwitz.
I mean, what are they, six in the country?
Haven't you topped out at Missouri just in terms of
question.
You bet. Hell, they were just ready to fire
no
you
question.
2 years ago.
Yeah, he would have to go.
You know,
he would have
before
to.
Last season, so.
I would be cautious about it though, because you know we're really only talking about two good years here for him.
His stock going up, navigated NIL to perfection in Missouri, as Adam says he'd be fallback from Kiffin. But I didn't think I'd say this a few years ago, but it's plausible. Drinkwitz knows what he's doing.
Here's the peril, right? And this is true of anybody that has to hire a coach. Like, you have to be able to separate, is this guy really him, or is he a beneficiary of timing with a great quarterback coming in, right, and a great offense? Because that's what he's got. He's responsible for it, which is, like, that's the first part. But, like, okay, what will life without Brady Cook and Luther Burden look like for him? Mm-hmm. Will it be as good? You know, I don't know. I think that's the because it didn't look good before, you know. But is that just the natural time it takes to build? You know, he's not a slam dunk, but mm-hmm. I get it. You know, you definitely bring him in and you see what he has to say and what his vision is. Yep. Lane would be first, second, third. Then I'd go Eli Drinkwitz. That's fine. That makes sense. He's in the league. And then I definitely would see – I would kick the tires on Matt Rhule. I'd see, do you want to leave? You know, you interested?
He likes to move.
Yeah, he'll come out. He's had some tough jobs. Where'd he start, Temple?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had some tough jobs. I mean, he took over Baylor. Then he was at Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just, you know, tough jobs his whole life. Maybe he likes it that way. I don't know. Maybe he, you know, he had to rebuild Nebraska.
That's why I'd be calling, because he's a mover. He doesn't mind starting over.
After the Scott Frost disaster.
Was Fuente just to back to your
mm-hmm.
was he just timing at a good quarterback in a system and not the man that we thought he was? Or wasn't maybe as high on him as you were, but we both believed in him that he was a good coach.
Yes.
Is he evidence of what you were just talking about?
I think you have to ask it. I mean, why is he not working? Like, you know, it's just like he
was Mike. That
again, I think you have to ask it. You know, because
who Mike have quarterback
here?
Yeah,
Riley Ferguson and Brady White. I mean, Riley Ferguson was a dog.
I mean, yeah, but let's not act like he was some NFL talent.
No,
I think he had a big arm,
and Mike accentuated him very well.
Right.
He put him in a good
system. And then
with
Brady, you have a system quarterback.
Right. No, Mike made both of those guys, I would say, better than they are, you know.
And then you get Jordan Travis.
But that was that his first there?
No, there was somebody before that.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was.
But wasn't that inherited, though? Wouldn't that have been inherited?
Yeah. Mike got there in 2020,
right? My thing is, he's gone through, what we're saying here is that he's gone through some quarterbacks, some good, some...
And he's been successful, pretty good. Yeah.
And I think those guys are the ones that we like.
Exactly.
Whereas with Fuente, it'd been a little bit tougher. And who was the quarterback that was not good for him at Virginia Tech, but then went on to...
It was Hendon Hooker. That's a tough one. That's a tough one, because he got with Heupel, and it changed his life. And now you look at Heupel, and he's doing it again with Iamaliava.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. Yeah. I mean, even Milton last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Heupel is quarterback maker.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's like if you go to Tennessee, it don't matter.
He played it. Fuente played it too, though, didn't he?
He did.
But he was like backup.
He was at Oklahoma, and then he transferred to Tulsa, right?
That's where he played then.
No, he transferred to Murray State.
You know, Heupel's like, you know, playing for a title contender, you know.
Yeah.
There's a different level. It's all about how you're relating it to the player, though. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily, just because you were great doesn't mean you're going to be a great coach of quarterbacks.
But yes,
Heupel's definitely doing it though.
Yes,
and Fuente, yeah, I mean,
Fuente started 8 games at Oklahoma.
Sorry,
did you not? I mean,
they clearly weren't a national title contender.
No, they went 3-5 when he was the quarterback.
Oh, man,
I gotta say I had no idea that he played
that much at Oklahoma.
Yeah, they'll honor him. The big discussion was they fired him. Stoops had to fire him as OC.
You're talking about Heupel. He's talking about Fuente.
Yeah, Fuente. Yeah. But because I'm just – he left. He left and transferred to Murray State, did Fuente.
Oh, that's right.
But he did play at Oklahoma. But it was, you know,
how about
not
that?
A, not a good Oklahoma
That's pretty
team.
Impressive.
Eric Moore was the starter that season before he lost the job. Do you remember Eric Moore?
No.
Don't remember anything about Eric Moore. But yeah, Heupel is definitely the. I mean, in college, you got to say. I mean,
QB whisperer.
I mean, him and Lane. I mean, Lane made Matt Corral look like a beast, and Matt Corral sucks. I mean, he flamed out in the NFL. He flamed out in the UFL. He's awful. But at Ole Miss, he was unstoppable. You know, so you're starting to kind of get like, you know, it's a tit for tat. You know, with him and Heupel in college football. So, I mean, would I mean. Heupel probably would not leave Tennessee for Florida.
I mean, why? Yeah. You've built Tennessee into something that's better, right?
I would call, though.
And you did that.
I would call. I mean, that's what I'll say. I'll say I'll go after Lane first, and then I will call Heupel, and I will say, what if we offer you a Godfather deal? Will you leave Tennessee? I mean, I'd be willing to do it, too. I'd be willing to do it if I was Florida. Because what – I mean, I'm in desperate times.
Yeah.
I'm losing ground. I got Tennessee up here putting in talent fees.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got to submit talent fees every month at Odyssey. Tennessee's getting them now for every home game. So, I mean, it's definitely a new era. And, you know, I think if you're Florida, you're at an inflection point.
You're in a bad place.
We got to decide what we want to be. So we're not leaving this coaching cycle without one of Lane Kiffin or Josh Heupel. That's what I would say.
I like going after Heupel.
And then I don't know what he makes at Tennessee. I'm assuming he probably makes.
They didn't. That's weird that they didn't have him even on the list.
They just
because they don't think he'll come out of there.
It'll start
Tennessee will pay the mess out of him.
Right, and they will.
But if you thought he was gettable, he'd be on this list. Maybe he's not.
He makes $9 million a year. So I don't know how much more Florida can pay. That's a lot.
Yeah, Tennessee's got all the money in the world. They did pay a little something. Tennessee go up.
What's Billy Napier?
Based on where he's got
him
right now.
Let's see what he makes. Billy Napier contract. Let's see. It's probably not even close. He makes 7 years, 51. So about seven. So, you know, it's not close.
Mm-hmm.
It's not close in the grand scheme of things. So you'd probably have to offer Josh Heupel a 7-year, $100 million contract. For him to leave, I mean that, and they probably can't. I mean, they can't. That's like NFL wide receiver, bro.
Right. He hasn't like. Well, we like where Tennessee's at. We love what he's done with quarterbacks. He hasn't done it yet.
No,
he hasn't. You know, in terms of the SEC, it's always. You know, he's still been below some folks.
No, that's true. That's true.
But
true.
I like what I see, though.
Yeah, it's on.
And I like calling him after Kiffin, actually.
And then we'll go from there.
Then I'll call Drinkwitz and those guys.
But just so you know, Florida's a 6-point favorite over Mississippi State this weekend at Mississippi State, if you want any kind of indication as to how disastrous the Levy hire was for Mississippi State. 6-point favorite on the road in Starkville.
Woof.
Yeah, that's bad. Is he a 1-year experiment?
No, because he and the athletic director are tight, and honestly, I think they're linked together. In other words, if one of those son of a guns goes, both of them go. Because there is not a ton of love so far for the new AD. It's still early, but there is not. I mean, it's not a love thing right now with the new AD.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's a tough hire, though. You got to get that right. You know,
it's hard. It's hard. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, I never liked the Levy hire because
I didn't like it either.
He was from Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, this is another Kenny Payne situation where Lane is sabotaging Mississippi State
by way of being all offense at Oklahoma, one of those kind of cats, one of these Big 12 offensive juggernauts who's never coached before. Now, it can work. Look at Heupel. He had to go to UCF, and it didn't – he was actually fired. I just pointed that out, you know, at one OC job. But, like, he went through some stuff. Like, Levy
– Yep.
I don't know, man.
Exactly.
You know, Ryan Silverfield would be a great coach at Mississippi State, right?
I mean, that's a school that could do it.
Like, if Ryan got good, I don't – you know, Florida job is a hornet's nest, but like all Mississippi State needs is a little bit of love.
Well, Ryan has gotten good.
I mean,
we're
and he beat y'all, right?
He sure did.
He beat y'all.
Thanks to Calvin. Austin picked that ball up and ran.
That's right. That's because we know the rules in Memphis, and y'all don't.
You guys are a bunch of rule followers.
We follow, and that's what we do with our basketball program. That's what we do with our football program. We know the rules, and we follow them.
Oh,
daily.
Petty may not.
God rest his soul. Leach was lost on that play.
Lost.
He didn't remember the rules to your point. Yeah, I forget.
He thought they blew it dead.
Yeah, you know, and that's what they always say: play through the whistle.
Yeah,
play through the whistle. But they don't teach that at Mississippi State.
Turns out they blew him dead, but they didn't blow the play dead.
Brad,
sorry,
too Brad.
Soon? Is it too soon? I mean, it's been 2 years, John.
I know, but I mean, you know, the man is dead.
Sorry,
you know, and he's not coming back.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Like we had him on like right before he died.
He was very generous with his time.
He was. But he, you know, he definitely had COVID. I don't know if he was testing down there or what, but I recall specifically coming away from that interview saying, "Mike, there's going to be a COVID outbreak, and this game is not going to happen."
Remember coughing through that interview?
Yes, yes.
We nearly got it over the phone.
Rough. I think we did.
I mean, look, again, I'm not trying to go in here.
We, again,
I kind of opened up the door. I'm sorry.
No, oh, y'all, no, you opened it. You slammed it.
My
open.
Bad.
I mean, let's be clear about who this. Who's
it's on me?
Who this falls
he
on?
He was coughing that whole interview.
Bad.
In the and from the heavenly perspective, this definitely is going to go on your
that's
record.
Facts.
You know, you can't come at us.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But
I'm
yeah.
the one wearing a Mississippi State shirt today and making Mike Leach jokes. I mean,
that's between you and God, brother. You cannot make that case with us.
It's a welcoming God. Angels. It's a welcoming God.
Anyway, yeah, it's hard to make hires, and Florida's probably going to have to do that here. I've got one more before we go to break.
Good. Okay.
We haven't talked about it yet, but Adrian Wojnarowski is out at ESPN. He has announced that he is retiring, not just from ESPN, but from the news industry altogether. After a 37-year career that started at the Hartford Courant, How do you say it? Is it Courant?
I just said Courant.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.